Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert podcast. I almost said Hammer and Rails. I was this close to saying Hammer and Rails. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Ryan Bonaparte.
And we're here today. We're going to talk about the last two Purdue basketball games, Purdue's wins over Wisconsin and Illinois. So, exciting stuff. Purdue now the outright Big Ten champ. But, Ryan, I understand you've got a little something at the start of the show here.
Yes, I have a slight surprise for you.
Okay.
So, much to my chagrin, I was at the grocery store this week, and I came across one of the coolers by the checkout.
Oh, you got a Peeps Pepsi, didn't you?
A yellow bottle of Pepsi. Yep.
Perfect.
I thought to myself, I can't not try this.
Exactly. So, do you have it? Have you tried it yet, or are you trying it like live on this podcast?
I have already tried it
Okay. Because
both my brother and I wanted to try
gotcha,
it.
Gotcha, that's
and
fair.
We're not going to buy more than one bottle.
Yeah, that's fair. My brother does that with Mountain Dew, although he'll drink any Mountain Dew. You know, when I am around back in Indiana where he lives, it's almost always like, hey, I've got this Mountain Dew flavor. Here's a drink of it. Like, try it. Because like you said, you know, if it's terrible, I don't want to buy like a six pack or, you know, a bunch of 20 ounces. So, all right, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I'm going to preface this by saying it did not taste like Peeps to me. I did not taste marshmallow
okay.
in that Pepsi.
Okay.
It tasted like vanilla Pepsi to me.
Yeah, it did. It did. But I think it almost tasted somewhat creamier than a normal vanilla Pepsi. I don't even know if they make vanilla Pepsi anymore.
Yeah, it felt like it was more artificial, kind of like you're going to get in a Peeps. Almost like the Splenda to the vanilla Pepsi.
That could be.
So, yeah, I didn't hate it, but again, I didn't hate it because it didn't taste like Peeps. My brother really, he enjoyed it more than I did. Neither of us would go out and buy it for ourselves in the packs, but we wouldn't just spit it out instantly.
Right, okay. Okay. Honestly, I think after, like, a review, letting it linger, I think I would rather drink Pepsi Peeps than normal Pepsi.
Fair enough.
Maybe that's blasphemy, but, you know, we're a Coke household when I do drink carbonated beverages, which is not very often, but I'm a Coke Zero man myself, but, you know, the Pepsi Peeps, it was good. It was enjoyable. Maybe next time I see it, I will grab one, but I did see, apparently Little Caesars is going to have a special Pepsi product not too long from now. It's supposed to be Pepsi with pineapple flavor.
Okay.
So,
okay, I did not know where that road was going, and I was getting scared.
No, it's not crazy bread flavored Pepsi. That I don't think anybody wants that.
Or pizza flavored Pepsi. Just no, we have combos for that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, I'm glad you got to taste it. Like I said, I think for me it was better than normal Pepsi. And I'm a sucker for like random, like limited time flavors of things. Always. I'm like, you know, maybe it'll never happen again. I got to try it now. So they see me coming every time they release one of these limited edition flavors. They know I'm going to at least try to find it. So
You're such a sucker, you convince everyone else to do it.
Exactly.
Too.
Exactly. I'm really, this whole thing is a backdoor way to get a Pepsi sponsorship. on the podcast. You know, I'm saying we could overtake Coke if you just give me a chance. So there you go, Pepsi. Ball is in your court. So speaking of the ball being in someone's court, Purdue had two basketball games. That was a perfect segue, by the way.
I'm impressed.
Although now that I've talked about it, I've kind of ruined it. But, you know, I'm going to leave it in. I love it. So Purdue, two games. First, we went on the road to Wisconsin, which never really an easy place to play. But if it was going to be easier, it was going to be this year with this Wisconsin team. But it certainly was not an easy victory. Purdue walks away with a 63-61 win. And they were down by five in the second half. And, oh man, that second half was back and forth the entire time, tied numerous times. And I did not know if Purdue was going to pull it out there in the second half. Did you have faith throughout the entire game, or did you waver there in the second half?
Oh, always. Always. That's how I roll. You know what? And I was trying not to think about it, like, oh my god, are we going to blow this? Because they had already clinched sole possession of the Big Ten,
right.
And I think that sort of, that silver lining made the whole game appear, it was like weight off your shoulders.
Yeah.
But then you're just like, well, now we still have other things we have to do and other things to clinch. Like, a one seed is very much still on the table.
Yep.
Just score more points than the Badgers and get out of Wisconsin with a victory. And credit to them, they did it. Just Brandon Newman is coming on so strong, and
yeah,
it's so nice. We're going to have to start calling him Mr. March or something.
Well, it's interesting because this is kind of, yeah, what happened last year. He started playing his best basketball at the end of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Or actually, I believe it last year, it even started in the Big,
in the
Ten,
Big
tournament.
Ten tournament.
So,
yep.
You know, it's just been his time to shine for whatever reason. I'm not mm-hmm. sure exactly what kind of kicks in, but he's certainly coming into his own. So Purdue, as you said, had already clinched by the time the game started, because basically every outcome that Purdue needed happened. I mean, it was just crazy. The dominoes that fell into place for Purdue to clinch the outright title. Granted, it was during the game only because the Michigan game, I believe it was the Michigan game, went into double overtime. So Purdue had a chance to clinch the outright title before the game even started, but going into two overtimes there really kind of slowed that down. But, you know, this Purdue team loves to keep things interesting. They didn't exactly dominate the first half, but I mean, they went into halftime up by four, and what has become a trend for this Purdue team, which I want to go on a little side quest here for a second. They allowed Wisconsin to come back in the second half, which is so fascinating to me, because when Matt Painter came to Purdue all those years ago, and Purdue started to get good again, Purdue would go into halftime down a lot, and we knew Purdue could come back because Purdue at that point really was a second half team. I mean, Matt Painter would come out with adjustments. Purdue would look way better in the second half a lot of times. We didn't really worry. I mean, I remember being in the paint crew and saying, you know, if we went down into halftime, you know, down five, down six, I was like, oh, that's not a big deal. We'll come back from that, no problem.
Right.
But lately, I mean, it's just the exact opposite. It's a complete 180 of the team that I watched when I was in college. Do you mm-hmm. have any idea what the difference is, or how this has really become such a problem for Purdue this season?
You almost wonder if they're doing too well in the first half, to the point where Matt Painter's like, well, do what you do, you know? And then obviously your opposing coach is going to make adjustments, and something's going to change, but sometimes you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar. Like, you know, Purdue, you're up by a big at halftime. Everything went right. Just keep doing that, but both teams need to shift. So whereas beforehand, you're the one who has to have the mentality of getting back into a game and adjusting and taking it to your opponent. So it's almost to the point where, like, Purdue is so dominant at points that it's actually ineffective.
That's an interesting theory. I'm not sure I buy it, but it is interesting. And there could be something
today.
To it. Yeah, there could be something.
Sunday, I should say.
Yeah. So you know, you never know. It's just it's something that I've been thinking about a lot, and I wish I could go back and look at that 2007-2008 season particularly, and kind of see how many times Purdue went into halftime down, especially at home, and came back to win versus seemingly now they go into halftime ahead, and you just wonder if it's enough for them to hang on. So, you know, at Wisconsin, Purdue only had two guys score in double figures. Zach Edey, of course, he finished with 17 and a monstrous 19 rebounds. You know, he just had a great game everywhere except the free throw line. Only was 3 for 8 from the free throw line. And, I mean, he only took 9 shots, but that is because, I mean, he kept getting fouled. You know, Wisconsin kind of did a hack and Edey strategy, and it worked because he was, as I said, 3 of 8 from the free throw line, but still managed to get 17 and 19. The other Boiler in double figures was Fletcher Lawyer, who was a pretty good 6 of 11 from the field, 13 points, 2 assists. But, I mean, overall, Purdue, again, the same problem we've seen almost throughout the entire back half of the season, 4 for 19 from 3 for just 21%. Meanwhile, they allow Wisconsin to shoot 10 of 24 for 41%. So when you've got that disparity in the three-point shooting percentages, you're going to have a problem in modern-day basketball.
Yeah, and there was a point in the second half where Wisconsin was actually 9 of 17. They were shooting over 50% from the three, and then they just cooled off at the very end.
Yeah, it was like the last four or five minutes. They just suddenly stopped being able to shoot, and it really was the saving grace that allowed Purdue to get back in the game.
Exactly. Yeah, I was in attendance for this one, and Madison was absolutely going bananas at times when these threes were hitting, and it's just Purdue could not defend it for whatever reason. And in the first half, of course, your patented guy goes off that you have no idea who it is against Purdue. You know, guy scores 12 points throughout the entire season or last 20 games and has 8 points on 3 of 3 shooting in the first half. Like, of course.
Yeah.
So I wore a different shirt for this game.
Okay.
And it seemed to work.
That's good. That's good. We can't have you being a jinx for us. For those that didn't watch the game, the guy from Wisconsin who did go off was Isaac Lindsay. I mean, amazingly, he played 5 minutes, 3 for 3 from the floor, 8 total points.
No other stats.
No other stats, yeah. No rebounds, no assists, no steals, not even a turnover, and no fouls. So, I mean, I would have thought about maybe playing that guy a little more, but, you know, that's just me. So you, as you said, you were at this game. It sounded like the crowd was pretty good. How's the setup there for media? Did you have a good seat? Could you see the actual floor? Unlike at Maryland.
Yes, absolutely. We were in the balcony or you know, the second level, not the top balcony, but the middle one. It was a nice setup, and I hate to give it to them, but Wisconsin had a better spread in the beginning of, before the game. For the
okay.
Media.
Okay. What'd you have?
They had like a potato salad and like, it was like a cheddarwurst brats.
Okay. You lost me immediately with the potato salad, but you really brought me back with the cheddarwurst brats.
Yeah, that's really what did it. And then they also had like crispy potatoes. It seemed like I didn't have any of it, but, yeah, they did well. Plus, they have like a fountain drink dispenser too. So like,
just like cans or whatever in a fridge. Very nice. Yep. Very nice. Good for them.
On that.
So, you know, Purdue had, as I said, the same problem they've had recently, allowing too many 3-pointers and not making enough of their own. But right. Purdue was able to claw back in that second half, the last 5 minutes. And you know, I think it all started really with an Ethan Morton three to kind of get Purdue back going in that second half with about 5 minutes to go. Ethan Morton actually 2-for-4 from three and has surprisingly shot the ball really well as of the last month or so. But, you know, still isn't really what we expect from him. Anything we get is really kind of a bonus, but it would be great if the rest of the team could take some cues from him, because you look around, Mason Gillis 0-for-2, Braden Smith 1-for-3, Fletcher Lawyer 1-for-3, Brandon Newman in this game was 0-for-5 from deep, and then David Jenkins Jr. 0-for-2. So, you know, not a great shooting night, but when you can have a night like that and still walk away with a 2-point victory on the road in the conference, you will take it. And that actually gave Purdue their 7th road win in the Big Ten season, and that is the most Big Ten road wins in school history. So it's a pretty cool little thing there. I mean, I know this has been a strange season, but to kind of set that record is pretty good and something that this team can hang their hats on. So anything else that you noticed against Wisconsin? I know that one was a little bit of a few days ago, so we want to focus more on the Illinois game here in the second half, but want to give you the last chance here.
You were correct with Brandon Newman getting the start and providing just more energy. So he came out, he got 2 big steals that led to layups. One of them, he almost had a missed bunny, but he got it. Defender was coming on, you know, up towards him, but he got it. So good for him. I mean, high energy, and the last 3 games have been his best of the season, and it's the correct time for him to get going.
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna have some struggles, I would rather you do it early in the season and then come on late. So hopefully he continues that, and we will talk about how he did in the Illinois game right after the break. And we are back. So Purdue today took on the Fighting Illini. Again, you know, as we mentioned in the last podcast, very strange that Purdue facing Wisconsin and Illinois at the end of the season, 2 teams they did not play all year, and they play them back-to-back to finish the conference season. Purdue obviously had little to play for in terms of Big Ten play. They'd already locked up the number one seed. They'd already locked up the outright title. But, of course, you never want to go into March and the postseason with a loss. So Purdue came out, and they looked absolutely incredible in the first half. They looked like the Purdue team we are hoping to see, you know, in a week and 2 weeks as March continues. Jumped out to, I believe, an 11-0 lead to start the game. And again, I think it was Brandon Newman had a couple buckets to start the game. Am I remembering that right?
So he had a couple steals, which led to 1 layup of his own, and 1 led to a Braden Smith layup.
That's right.
And
that's
then right. His 3-point shot put Purdue up 11-0, 3 minutes in.
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolutely perfect start for Purdue, going up 11-0, really just suffocating Illinois on defense, going out and hitting shots on offense. I mean, it really looked like they were clicking. And then they went into half, as we talked about, you know, Purdue has had second half woes. Purdue goes into half 47-26. And I believe they were up at 1.24 was the most they were up.
That sounds correct.
Yeah, 24 in the first half. And at that point, not that the game is over, but you really felt like Purdue had built such a lead that, you know, Illinois might chip away in the second half, but it wasn't going to be anything like the Wisconsin game, because you just saw the way that Purdue had been playing. And the first half that Brandon Newman had, it was, you know, you talked about these last couple games being the best of his year so far. This was the absolute gem of his season so far. I believe in the first half he had 15 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he wound up with 19, so not quite as spectacular in that second half. But, he did everything Purdue needed him to do, and he really earned those starter minutes today. He played 34, actually was the leading minute getter today. And I think if you would have told me a month ago that Brandon Newman would be the leading minute getter in a game, I would maybe be a little worried.
That or a little laugh in your face.
Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah, but in the first half, I mean, he had 3 steals in the first half. He didn't have any in the second half, but his on-ball defense was incredible in this game. He looked like he was just exploding while guarding defenders. And even though he says he only had three steals, I'm pretty sure he forced 5 or 6 turnovers in that first half. Not to mention, he had a couple tip passes that Illinois got back, but one of which was on a shot clock violation that he tipped the ball, and it threw Illinois out of rhythm. He has just put all of his energy into the past 3 games in a way. His energy has been used by the team just to, as a catalyst to drive them.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it. I know it's
awarded for it.
Yeah. I know it's a cliche to say, you know, he played within himself. He let the game come to him. But I think that's always kind of been Brandon Newman's problem. He comes out there with like a bundle of energy and he really, really wants to prove himself. You know, he played so well his freshman year, started, I think, 19 games, and then had the fall off last year where, you know, things just, for whatever reason, just didn't click until he got into the Big Ten tournament. And there's one thing you can never doubt about Brandon Newman, and that is his effort. But sometimes that effort causes him to make mistakes. You know, he'll make a sloppy turnover. He'll make a turnover that I think if he would just kind of slow down and truly, you know, see what's in front of him, he wouldn't make. But he found himself doing that more and more, and so Painter kind of slowly benched him for others. But, you know, today he really showed us everything he's capable of and why I've been such a huge fan of his from his freshman year. Just, I mean, did everything we wanted. His stat line at the end was 19 points, only one turnover, 3 steals, 5 assists, and 6 rebounds. You know, that is stuffing a stat sheet. He was Purdue's leading scorer, just absolutely an incredible game for Brandon Newman. And he was actually tied for top rebounder as well, with Edie with 6 and Caleb First with 6.
Yeah, and I know we're going to touch more on Edie, and obviously that's what raises eyebrows is when you tie with Edie for rebounds. Yeah. But, yeah, he... just good for him. He deserves it all, and I'm sure he's probably going to be the starter, I would assume, for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
If he keeps this up.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It's obviously giving Purdue that edge to start a game, and when you have a player with just a locked-in mentality, like he always seems to come out with, you have an instant advantage, and you always need those in tournaments.
Yeah, so yeah, and I mean,
I don't see Matt Painter taking that starting spot away from him.
No, anytime. No, I don't either. And to your point, when he's locked in to start a game, it can be so helpful because you can punch the opponent in the mouth right away, and it helps you jump out to an early lead. And when you get into March, and especially if Purdue truly is going to, you know, we don't know where they're going to be seated yet. Could be a 1, could be a 2. But in that first round, you're playing against a team who's either a 16 seed or a 15 seed. Mm-hmm. You don't want to give them any life. You don't want to give them any thought that they can come back and shoot their way into this game. You want to break their spirits immediately. And having a guy like Brandon Newman who goes out there and maybe gets a steal immediately, an easy layup, a dunk, a nice assist to a teammate, that can really, really bring a team down immediately. And that's what you have to do in March. You can't allow the underdog teams to stick around because that is how you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for the team's confidence, too, once you see that you're capable of doing that, you saw what happened in this first half. Purdue just went on a run. They actually, after being up 11-0, Illinois got it back to within 3. It was 23-20, and then Purdue just went on another big, big run. You know, a 24-6 run to end the half, where they just put the clamps on Illinois, and the team just forced turnover after turnover. Morton ended up with 4 steals in this game. Purdue had 11 steals in total. But Illinois had 15 turnovers, and the majority of those came in the first half. So when you have a team that all 5 guys are locked in as well, just because one guy was locked in, and then the dominoes start to fall, this is the kind of team you need in March. This team, that's the kind of team that wins championships, is when you have a cohesive group. And given it did not look that way at all in the second half.
Right.
But we all know from their time in Portland and from the first half today, it's more than possible for this group to be that team.
That's right. Yeah, so you mentioned the second half, so we might as well dig into it. And it was, you know, as good as Purdue played in the first half, they played just as bad in the second half. I mean, it was astounding. Nothing seemed to be going right for them. To start the second half, you know, we talked about three-point shooting being such both, it can be an asset for this team, but they just haven't shown it since Portland. You know, Illinois started the second half going 4-for-8 from three. Meanwhile, Purdue started the second half going 0-for-6 from three, and it may have gotten worse. Those were just the numbers I saw at one point. It may have continued to get worse for Purdue, but I mean, that right there shows you how a team can claw back into a game when they're going coming into the second half down 21. I mean, that's a 12-0 difference right there.
Yeah, and you also saw it sort of on the offensive glass for Illinois. There was just so many times that Illinois would put up a shot, and it would just go over the outstretched fingers of a Purdue rebounder and just go right back to an Illinois defender. It's never the back tap against Purdue. It's always that long rebound that they just somehow don't get their hands on. And you combine that with Purdue just couldn't score.
Yeah.
They were taking, you know, for the majority of the time, the paint crew actually had to count down the shot clock because they were taking long, empty possessions. That was the majority of the second half, where they just, you know, they would dribble and dribble and dribble and just couldn't penetrate, couldn't get the ball to Edie. Edie would have to send it right back out, and it just killed a lot of possessions.
Yeah, I mean, the Purdue offense just looked completely stalled for most of the second half. I don't know really what was the cause of it. I mean, I know Illinois looked better on defense. They had a lot more energy. Looked like they had fixed some of the problems that kind of caused them to be down so much in the first half. But at, let's see, I'm going through the play-by-play right now. And Purdue, with 57 seconds left in the game, when Zach Edey made a layup, that was only Purdue's seventh made field goal of the second half. And that broke the tie that put Purdue up 69-67. So, literally, they made, and Purdue didn't make another basket the entire second half. So, I think they only made seven shots in the entire second half.
Yeah, that's not great.
No, and I can't remember an offensive performance like that from Purdue since a very terrible game in the Big Ten tournament a few years back.
And Purdue got out rebounded in this game too.
Yeah, that is unusual.
Mm-hmm. And they got into some foul trouble in the second half too. They finished with 17 fouls. Lawyer had 4. Newman had 4. Edie finished with 3, 2 of which were in the first half. But Edie finishing with 3 is odd, just because he usually finishes with 1 or 0.
Right.
But yeah, it was just a slog in the second half. And I know we're talking about this like they lost the game, but they didn't. You know, they had done so well in the first half, and actually they just had just enough cushion, and they just barely pulled it out at the end. But also free throws. Illinois shot 24 free throws to Purdue's 28. You know, Purdue made more of them. They made 20 to Illinois' 16. You know, they shot better from the free throw line. But it was an unorthodox game, and the majority of that came in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, the second half, just completely bizarre. So taking a look at an in-depth box score here. Yeah, in the second half, Purdue 7 of 24 for 29% from the field. They did not hit a three-pointer. They were 0 for 6. But they were 15 of 20 at the free throw line. I mean, that was really the only way they stuck in this game. As good as Illinois started the 3-point shooting in that first or in that second half, as I said, they were 4 for 8. They wound up 6 of 14. So it's again, it's another example like the Wisconsin game, where Purdue's opponent comes shooting the lights out, and then whether it's Purdue clamping down on defense or you know their opponent getting tired legs from fighting all the way back as Illinois did, the shooting just kind of fell off. So Purdue, yeah, very lucky in that regard once again.
Yeah, and part of the issue that I saw live in this game was Purdue is having a hard time with the shot fake. Primarily today was Zach Edey on Coleman Hawkins. So Hawkins would just fake a shot, and Edey would be in the air, and Hawkins would blow past him. Now, that's also an issue with the younger guys. Mm-hmm. I know Smith in particular can hop through some shot fakes, and you know that blow by then creates a rotation, and it all comes down to, are the Purdue players rotating? So if they're not, that's where we get these open threes. And Illinois, yeah, like you said, they finally cooled off. I mean, Matthew Mayer was 1 of 10 from the 3-point line. That's lucky for Purdue. He's usually a very efficient scorer from outside.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely was a Baylor.
Well, he was probably all hopped up on Monster energy drinks, and his hand was probably shaky.
Well, the crowd knew that, too.
Did they? What did they say to him?
They yelled at him. They were yelling Monster at him during his free throws.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Honestly, and you know, this is on me because I haven't seen many Illinois games until, you know, Purdue played him today. He looks exactly like a guy who would stay up late playing video games and drink 4 Monster energy drinks.
Oh, for sure.
Like when I saw him, I was like, yep, that tracks. That is exactly, you could put 5 players from Illinois in a lineup and I would be like, no, it's that guy. He was the one that drank all the Monster energy drinks. So kudos to him for fitting into exactly what I thought he would look like, but good for the paint crew for chanting Monster. Maybe this gives him an NIL deal. This guy can make a little money off it. But, you know, Purdue, very lucky to walk away with a victory in this one.
Mm-hmm. And, you know what, you got to give some credit to Purdue as well, because when it came down to it, it was turned into a tournament setting at the end there. Illinois tied it at 67. Purdue had the ball, and they started scoring. Zach Edey got in deep. He got a layup, and then it turned into a free throw game. Ethan Morton had some very, very clutch defensive plays.
Yeah, two right there at the end. A couple
balls away. Yeah. One didn't turn to a steal because he actually poked it away and wasn't out of bounds.
Yeah, he tried to get a timeout there, but he was clearly out of bounds when he was trying to get it. So, you know, the refs got that one right.
Yeah, so he almost had another steal there, but they did enough to win. You know, at this point, it felt like a tournament game, and if that's so, survive and advance is the name of the game. So you got out of there, you know, you sent Illinois home with a loss. That's all you needed to do. Now you go to the tournament, and it's every game is an elimination game.
Yeah.
And I hope that these freshmen are up for that task, and these young players are up for the task of, oh my God, if we don't win, we're not going to be playing anymore.
Right. Season. Yeah. As you said, you know, it's win or go home time, and style points really do go out the window at this point in the year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how you win as long as you win. So we don't know at this point who Purdue will be playing in the Big Ten tournament. We know Purdue obviously is the one seed, so we know when they'll play, but we don't know who, because as of now, the Big Ten seeding is still an absolute mess. there's still a few games that need to be wrapped up before we know what the bracket is going to look like, but we know for sure, obviously, that Purdue will be the one seed, and they are not going to play until Friday, I believe, at 11. I'm pulling it up right now because you would think I would remember this because I wrote about it when it got locked in. But yeah, let's
early
see.
Game.
Yeah. Yep. Purdue will play game one of the day on Friday, March 10th, 11 a.m. Central Time tip off. So
yeah,
that would
so
be
noon.
That would be yeah noon for us Eastern Time Zone folks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be important for a lot of people listening to this because the Big Ten tournament is in Chicago this year, not in Indy. So those mm-hmm. times will be in Central Time. So everybody listening, make sure to keep that in mind. Do you have anything else about this Illinois game before we kind of head out for the night? I wanted to mention two things. Mm-hmm. One, I was happy to see that Gene Cady was in attendance, held up the trophy after the game. You love to see mm-hmm. that. Love to see Coach Cady staying around the program. And I loved that they did, in fact, update the video to have him saying 25 Big Ten championships. So that was a nice little touch as well.
Yeah. So I was a little disappointed because he was there. He could have done it live.
Okay.
But yeah, got to shake his hand after the game on the court. That was a fun moment.
I'm sure.
Right before talking to Zach Edey too, it was a surreal moment just being down there. Like I've been a fan in the crowd, but to be actually on the court too is really cool.
Yeah.
Took a scoop of confetti
okay.
home with me, so if that's not allowed, well, it's in my house already.
Yeah,
so.
Nothing they can do to you now. Nothing they can do to
my
you now.
Contraband. Yeah, I mean. Good for them. I'm so very happy for all these players, for all the hard work they've put in this season. Even the players that didn't really get to play, because it was senior day for Matt Frost, who tore his ACL before the season. And I know he would have liked to have played this season, but unfortunately he had that injury. But good for him for all the... Obviously, he provides support to the team. Being a good teammate is almost just as important as being a good player.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's always hard to not be able to play in a senior day game for those walk-ons. But, you know, Frost at least had the, you know, the excuse of he was injured, tore that ACL. But you really would have loved to see him get an opportunity to get out there. But unfortunately, it just didn't happen for him because of the injury.
Yep, and then shout out to David Jenkins Jr., his senior day today as well. Shout out to Matt Painter. I know he's listening now because of what he said after the game.
Yeah. Do you wanna for those that didn't see it or watch the stream afterward, I have the exact quote in front of me. I don't know if you have it exactly or not.
I don't have it exactly.
Okay, I will do it because I took it right from the video I saw. Here's what mm-hmm. he said. Apparently, you told me this was the first thing he said as they celebrated.
Yes. Yes, they handed him the mic, and then he said this.
I'm so glad they won. That way you can't talk shit about us on the internet.
He knows.
Just an absolute
Matt Painter
perfect
is just,
quote.
Yeah, he's just omnipresent. He knows everything.
Yeah.
So, fantastic.
Yeah, so really, really cool. Glad you could be there for it. I realize as I was going through the notes I keep for this podcast, I know you were not with us on the pod as we went into conference basketball season, but Casey and I predicted the conference records before Big Ten season began, and Casey got it exactly right. He predicted 15-5, which is where Purdue winds up. I predicted 14-6, so I was one game off, but Casey was exactly right with his prediction.
And both of you predicted the Big Ten championship, right?
I think we did, yeah. I think we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and then, so going back to look at, you know, the Big Ten only expanded to 20 conference games in 2020, so this is only the fourth year that they've done this. I'm sorry, 2019, so this is the sixth year, or fifth year, geez, math is hard. In 2019... Purdue and Michigan State share the title with a 16-4 record, and that is the best record anyone has achieved under the 20-game schedule. The champions the next year were 14-6. Michigan, in the strange, you know, COVID year, was 14-3, And then in 2022, it was 15-5. And then this year, again, Purdue alone at the top with a 15-5 record. So, you know, we will take that. What an incredible season it's been. We're going to record again in the middle of the week to kind of look at the Big Ten tournament. Like I said, since there are still games going on and we don't know who Purdue will play, there's no use in talking about it now. But, Ryan, I want to get your final thoughts since you were at the game as they celebrated. You know, how did this compare to 2017 when you were also there when Purdue won the outright title in that season going 14-4?
A little bit different because in 2017 they clinched against Indiana, and in this one, obviously, you kind of had the weight of, oh my God, what happened in the second half coming down on you, and they had already clinched, so it was a little different, but a win is a win is a win. You got championship number 25, you got it outright, and you got to celebrate at home. Zach Edey cut the net down without even using the ladder. Like, it was just good vibes only in there, even though the second half didn't go so well, and it was great to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you could be there. Obviously, like you said, 2017, a whole different animal to win and clinch against your rival on your home court. Would have been incredible to be there. What an experience, but I'm glad we could get you to this one for Purdue's victory and the trophy presentation. So you are going to be going to the Big Ten tournament for us. You're going to be covering it. So I have one question to get us out. Are you going to every game, or are you going to only start going when Purdue plays? Because I won't judge you either way. I'm just curious.
Well, unfortunately, I have to go in person to work on Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. See, I wondered. So, I wondered.
Friday would be the first time I'd be able to, and then obviously that's when the games start dwindling. So.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot easier. A lot easier to go to those when there's not, you know, four games in a day or whatever they do.
Right.
So I'm really, really looking forward to the Big Ten tournament starting. Really looking forward to see who Purdue plays on Friday. But as I said, we don't know that now. We'll talk about that midweek. So thank you, everybody, for listening. For Ryan and myself, have a great night. Big Ten champ 25. Boiler up.
Hammer down.